Praise the Lord. It's sure is good to be here tonight, and I certainly feel very humble being here tonight and amongst you precious people, and so good that I've met Brother Brian, and I think it was a couple years ago, and so anyway, my son Paul, he said he was looking on the internet and found a message of Brother Brian, the Garden of the Mind. I said, I sure would like to get a hold of that. And so then through that phone call, we got even more introduced. Me and Brother Brian, we've had some wonderful fellowship. He come down and really ministered real good for us in a little church that the Lord blessed us to have. And so I appreciate his ministry, and you're very blessed to have Brother Kazarek here, and the ministry of Brother Vail and Brother William Murray Brown. And so I want to share with you a few songs that the Lord has shared with me, and I pray they'll be a blessing to your heart. How sweet it is to walk in his presence. Song the Lord wrote for me. It's called Invisible Union. Praise the Lord. Christ is the mystery of God. Revelation 10:1-7 is the way. Singing too much and traveling, and I dreaded this trip. But then the days it got more closer to it, the more I was anxious about getting up here. And so I believe the Lord put that in my heart. So here's an old tune. You'll probably recognize the tune, but I rewrote it. It's called "So Sad I Could Cry." I look around the world today. I wonder why we're astray from God. They've turned their backs on me. Makes me sad. Well, it sure is good to see. see all you good fine friends, and let's see, I know that brother and sister, and some of you I don't know, but anyway, Brother Brian's going to get me a little bit of water. You will, you can turn in your Bibles tonight to Proverbs, the 6th chapter. I'll just wait on the pastor if he comes back. Thank you, Brother Brian. Let's get our Bibles and turn to Proverbs 6 and 2, and let's just stand once again. I told Brother Brian, said, just sing 6 or 7 if you want to, and some before and some after. I said, well, I don't speak very long, so maybe we can work out something here. And Proverbs 6 and verse 2, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we humbly come before you tonight in your great presence, Lord, we just thank you for being here in this little place of worship. We thank you for your children that are here, that's been bought by your precious blood. We thank you for Brother Brian. We pray that you'd bless him and the congregation and those that couldn't make it tonight, and have your precious way as the word goes forth. I believe you to do something very special in divine revelation, and we'll praise you in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Back in the 60s, 1963, I believe it was, I was in the Baptist church, and people got to talking about William Branham in that Baptist church, and one brother came up to me and said, William Branham's the closest man to God in the world. I said, he is. And I first thing come to my heart, I thought, well, I'd like to see how he preaches. That was one of the first things that come to my heart. I'd like to know how he preaches the word. Well, I soon found out, and I'm so grateful that I did. There's just something about that voice that captivates you. Amen. And then Brother Branham, as I heard him, he began to talk about Brother Lee Vail, and then I got to thinking, well, you know, I'd like to hear him. And so this sister, Leola Orders, I used to go up and get tapes from her, and she said she had some tapes of Brother Vail. And so I began to listen to some of them, like just faith and confession and just different things, the series on faith and so forth. And I just about wore the tapes out, and because I had so much problem with my tongue. And so tonight I want to backtrack and on a message. You know, Brother Vail preached faith and confession. And what we want to do tonight is just kind of bring that up to date, because I believe it's really needed. Especially, as Brother Brown said, my message is to declare that he is here. And so he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so how would we act in the presence of a king, the King? Amen. And so tonight, I just want to entitle this little thoughts tonight, Hung by the Tongue. And, you know, you can't help but think about a hangman's noose with a slip knot in it. And people say, well, I just slipped and said something. Well, I'm going to say some things tonight. And I would like to say this, that God's word that is conceived in your heart and formed by your tongue and spoken out of your mouth becomes a creative force, releasing the ability of God within you. Amen. And so I want to just kindly look at the Pergamos Church Age, page 170. It says, so when a spirit-born, spirit-filled man in faith takes that word into his heart and places it upon his lips, why, that is the same as deity speaking. Every mountain has to go. Satan cannot stand before that man. And so that's kind of what I want to base it upon, these things that I've started with. And first of all, I want to say something before I go into this message, because this may sound childish, but this is just the way that I do things. I'm going to be saying some things tonight, probably about people. And so let me say this. If you ever hear me talk about anybody, I'm going to say it in a nice way, but if you ever hear me say anything about anybody or complain, forgive me for the rest of my life. Okay? Now I won't have to say it anymore. So that's okay. All right. Now I got the. I just want to go on into this now, and let's go to Proverbs 18, verse 7, and let's have a little Bible study. You love Bible studies?
Amen.
18, verse 7. And the reason I said what I just did was for my own nerves, because sometimes I have to say things. And 18, verse 7, the fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Proverbs 18, 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And Job said in Job 6:24, teach me and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. And let's go to Proverbs 21 and 23, and it would do you good to memorize this scripture here, because it says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Amen. So I have had problems down my way. I'm sure you've had yours up this way about the Godhead teaching. And me and a brother was talking in a cafeteria one day, and he kept getting louder and louder because he wanted me to see it his way. And I said, well, brother, I said, hey, just hold it. I said, let's just quit talking about it. I said, I stand with Brother Vail on that teaching of the Godhead. And so he left, and so I'm no longer a brother anymore. Isn't that wonderful? Hey, man, I mean, it's sad. It breaks your heart. It breaks your heart because I feel sorry for those people. And I pray for those people. But I'm no longer a brother. And so I get to thinking about what Brother Branham said, as you walk on, more will unfold to you. As you walk on, more will unfold. And then I thought, well, I'm just going to let love project. And regardless what they say about me, I'm going to say good about them.
Amen.
And it's not their attitude towards me that counts. It's my attitude towards them that counts.
Yes.
That's what brings the blessing.
Amen.
And so to get back to our text tonight, the law of the land, the officers, Brother Brian, they tell you, you have the right to remain silent, for the words you speak can and will be held against you in a court of law. So, Matthew 12:36 says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So, every idle word is a... If you look that up, it's a non-working word. It's working. It's not really working for you. It's working against you. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you some experiences that I've had in my past years since, and I used to, when I was a sinner, I used to cuss, or they call it curse, so bad that one of my sinner friends said, "Aren't you ashamed of yourself or your friends to hear you like that?" And I got to thinking, you know, you're right. I'm going to have to watch myself. And I remember hitchhiking to California when I was 16 years old, and I said, and I was stuck in Texas because I was going to go out and surprise my uncle out in California. I was going to go out there and work for him. Come to find out, when I got out there, he'd moved back to Seattle, Washington. And so, the story was I couldn't get a ride in Texas, and there was a storm fixing to come up, and I was hours after hours. And so I seen this big 18-wheeler coming, and I knew the storm, the bottom was about ready to fall out. And I said, "God," me 16, I said, "God, if you'll just let that truck stop and pick me up, I promise you that I'll quit cussing and I'll be a good boy." See, trying to bargain with God. The truck went on past me. It stopped, and I took off running. And just as I started to get in, it started pouring down. And when I got inside, the bottom fell out. And I said, "Sir," I said, "can I sleep up here in this sleeper here?" He said, "Help yourself." And so I got up in that old truck, you know, bouncing around. And I just fell asleep, and I woke up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The sun was shining, and the driver was laying down there in the seat, and he'd give me his bed. And he took me out and bought my breakfast and put me on the right road to go home. So the Lord is really, see, you can't bargain with God. It don't work. Because when I got to California and found out my uncle, I done pretty good till I got to California and found out my uncle had moved back to Seattle, and I flew into cursing again. And so that didn't do it. I had to be born again. So God done a great miracle in my life. I remember I knelt beside my bed at my uncle's house. I was staying with my aunt and uncle then. And I knelt beside the bed there. And give my heart to the Lord. Just felt like a big load just lifted off of me, and I was just light as a feather. Just, I knew God had done something for me that I couldn't do myself, and I praise His name for it. But anyway, I want to give you some examples of being hung by the tongue. You know, the way people talk nowadays, even believers, they talk sickness, doubt, unbelief, and fear, frustrations. They talk, and the more they talk about those things, the tighter the rope gets until they choke their spiritual victory.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But if you talk in faith and walk in, think in faith, as Brother Vail said, think about it, talk about it, think about it, talk about it, press in, and in due time you'll get the answer. But you can't do it talking in unbelief. And so the more you talk in faith, the looser you get from the noose. As you get loose from the noose. There you go. Amen. But anyway, there was a lady that stood up in church one night, and I want you to notice her words. She stood up, she says, "I want everybody here to pray for me. I'm taking the flu." You notice how she said that? "I'm taking the flu." And in other words, she just opened the door and said she was taking it. So what good would it do to pray for? Hey, amen. I was walking up the street one day, and it was probably a cold day, like when I come through West Virginia. And this man is one of these men that he just kind of stands up on the, watching the cars go by and smoking a cigarette. And he was a friend of mine. I said, "How you doing there, friend?" He said, "Oh, just trying to take the flu." And he probably didn't mean nothing by it. Did he take it? I don't know, but he spoke it. That's what I'm trying to get across. Okay. There was this lady that told my mother, she said, "My two sisters died with cancer." And she says, "I have been to the doctor." Notice the words. "I have been to the doctor, and I have a clean bill of health, but I'm waiting any day now for the doctor to tell me that I've got it because they had it too." Well, James 3:6 says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body, and it setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." Amen. So, the greatest battle ever fought, it says, listen, it can batter against you, but it can't get to you until you accept it in the mind. See? Eve stopped for a moment, and Satan walked right into that mind. He said, don't stop for nothing. You've got the message. Jesus lives. God's a healer. That's the message. Don't stop for nothing. No reasonings, no nothing else. Abraham never stopped for nothing. 25 years he confessed that God's word was true, and he called those things which were not as though they were, and the promise came to pass. Now in 2 Corinthians 10:4 it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down reasonings and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So I like what Brother Vail said about it. He said, what is the highest part about you? Is your head. The top story of man. The thoughts that your mind produces contrary to God's word, cast them out. It's a battle every day. Every one of us, we go through it every day, battle after battle. And every inch of the way, as Brother Brown said. Now, we need to be more careful. Don't you think we need to be more careful about the words that we speak? Amen. I think so, because sometimes we are. Sometimes we're careful, especially at a funeral home, or especially at a hospital, or things like that. We're real careful what we say to that person, because we don't want to offend nobody. If anything, we want to try to encourage them. Is that right? Why should we just be careful at a funeral home or at the hospital about the words we speak? So, as I was saying, my message is to declare that he is here. So, Jesus, I want you to notice the man Jesus, watch him. Brother Branham said, is your life worthy of the gospel? He said he wasn't fussy and stewy. He just spoke the words of God. I can't help but think about something. I was laying in bed the other morning, and the thought come to my heart about, I know you probably already know these things, but it come to my heart about, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said, my God. If he was God, why did he say, my God? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But, you know, you get those little things coming to you as you go along. But he said, every word that come from his lips was God's anointed word. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could say that? Now, Brother Brown, I like the way Brother Brown put it. He's always putting himself in there with us. Like he says, it means a lot of shaking down for you and a lot of shaking down for me. But together, by the grace of God, we'll make it. And so, my word and God's word is the same. What I say, he honors it, because I do nothing till he tells me first. Oh, there's your example. There's a life worthy of the gospel. I was back in the 70s. I was studying quite a bit on this, and I got to writing down some things, and I started telling my wife. I said, here's the way people talk, and we're all guilty. We've all been guilty of the past. But I said, listen at this. And I said, here's the way things that pulls the rope tighter, we'll say. I think I'm going crazy. I think I'm losing my mind. I think I'm getting the flu. The news says it's going around. I might lose my job. I'm getting so old. And I feel so bad. Nobody knows what I have to go through. You ever heard things like this? It's not helping any. Really? The kids make me nervous. And I don't know how we are going to make it. My head is busting. And I'm unworthy. Why does everything happen to me? And I sure hope I make it. There's a recession coming. What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we put on? Let's turn to Matthew 6:31. Amen. Therefore take no thought, saying, now I just wonder if you've ever looked at this real close. If you'll notice what it was first, therefore take no thought. First, it was a thought. Then saying, you spoke it. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. And so, how do we keep from being hung by the tongue? Well, let's go to 1 Peter 3 and 10 and Peter 3:10. I know this is a very simple message tonight, but it's to me it's a very deep message. As Brother Vail says, if we can just get a hold of the exercise of faith, he said the rest of our revelation would come clear. We'd be believing more. See, we'd be believing more, walking in faith. See. Now, 1 Peter. Okay, 3:10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. I believe that's... For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? And notice this. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Amen. So Psalms 39:1 said, it says, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Psalms 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So, there's something about talking about the word, and then it'll help you walk what you talk. Because if you think day and night on God and you talk about him, I told my wife, I said, look, let's just me and you start having a revival. I said, and what we do, I'll start quoting a scripture and she'll take it over. And I'll come back. Like, I can do all things. She'll say, through Christ. And I'll say, which strengtheneth me? For in him, she said, we'll live and move. And I said, we have our being. And then sometimes I'll say, let's start, in the house, I'll be in the house, I'll say, let's have some echo praises. I'll say, hallelujah. And she'll say, hallelujah. And it's, we just have a good time. When I think we date all the time. We hadn't been married but just 45 years. So that's pretty good nowadays to the same lady. That's really not bad. And I tell people, I say, I'm 65 years young. I don't say old because I believe that I'm really about 18 or 20 years old inside. Amen. So I'm holding fast to the confession of my faith. I'm waiting on my body. I'm calling it done. Amen. And so I guess I'm a little fanatical about the Lord, but I enjoy it. I like to be happy about what God has done for me.
Amen.
Because I could not live right. I tried it and I could not live right. And so it took him. Psalms 141, verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. And Psalms 119, 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. I was reading a testimony of a man that was in his 90s. And he said, he asked the pastor, can I come up and testify? He came up and testified and he told the people, he said, I have all my hair. And he said, God showed me when I was a young man how to keep it. And he says, I have all my teeth. God showed me how to keep all my teeth. He says, my vision is 20/20, and I still have my strength. And he said, God showed me how to keep all those things as a young man. And said, the first thing that God showed me how to keep was my tongue. And he said, by keeping my tongue, it's helped me to keep the rest of this. So, praise the Lord. So let's go back to Proverbs 18 and verse 20. I really didn't know about the Godhead until about 7 years ago. I didn't know where Brother Vail exactly where he was and so forth. I'd heard these faith messages over and over. Of course, they're all faith messages. Faith is a revelation. And Brother, I had heard some people speak negative against Brother Vail, and I thought, well, I don't want to be in something that's wrong now. And then but yet there was something in there wanting to hear him. And so, Brother, I haven't, me and Brother Revis Pruitt had been, anybody know Brother Revis? Yeah, Brother Revis, me and him had been friends since back in the 60s. And I said, Brother Revis, have you got some messages by Brother Vail on the Godhead? And he said, yeah. He says, I'll send them to you. I said, all right, that's fine with me. So I started hearing it, and what the other people were saying wasn't what he was saying. So I finally got the revelation of the Godhead, and so I had my iPod loaded up, and I'd be painting houses. I painted many houses. Me and my wife, she'd always get the low stuff. She was a good, real good painter. She could paint a window out in just a little bit. And I didn't put her high. I let her go low, and I'd get the high stuff. And I'd have my iPod going, you know. And I'd hear the Godhead, and I'd hear it through, and it seemed like I'd have to hear it again. Was you like that? I just had to hear it over and over and over and over. And then I got a hold of Brother Brian's messages, and I really got my study then, because he broke it down so simple. It was all simple, but it just seems how he has a simple way. And I started bringing it to the people, and we just started reading it. He was reading the quotes, and we was taking turns reading. We just go sit around in a circle and read. You take a paragraph, you take a paragraph, you take a paragraph, or a quote. And at night, me and my wife, we always have devotions before we go to bed. And She'll read part of a verse, and I'll take up and read where she left off, and we just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And you'd be surprised what can generate out of that.
Amen.
You'd be surprised. And so, anyway, I told you I wasn't going to keep you too long. And this ain't too long, is it? Okay, all right, okay. But anyway, Proverbs 18, verse 20, death, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. I didn't understand this until Brother Vail opened this up and he said, a man's belly is his innermost being. It sounded like to me it was his real, the real person, the soul of man. And so, then he told about the fish story. You know, about, he said a man went out and caught a fish, and it was a 10-inch trout, and he was so happy about it. And when he come home and started telling his fish story, he wasn't a Christian because he told a lie. And while he was talking about the fish, it grew 2 inches. And he said, oh, that would give me a fight. Oh, but I finally got it in. That was a 12-incher. So he liked it so good, his ear heard what he said. And it went into his innermost being. It come back out next time, 14 inches, 16 inches. Finally, it was an 18-incher. He said, yes, sir, it was an 18-incher. So that's the way it is when you hear gossip. And I wrote a book one time called What Do AIDS and Gossip Have in Common? It's on joypublishing.com. You can order if you want. They're the one that gets the benefits from it. I don't. So, but anyway, I noticed in the word gossip. I couldn't help but think about a hot cup of coffee. You don't just turn it up and drink it. You sip it, and it's like gossip. And what did he say? And it ain't like you're sipping, you see, on gossip. And what was next? And it seems like everybody, majority of people love gossip. I even called up a publishing company because I was trying to get it published. And I said, what do you think about a book on gossip? She says, well, I don't think it would go over too good because people love gossip. And I said, oh. So I finally found someone that did like it. So anyway, it's like Brother Vail said, if you hear gossip one time and don't repeat it, it dies. But if you repeat it, you heard it, you liked it, it went down, and next time it was even worse and worse and worse and worse till it was just a big lie. It stretched so far out of proportion. Okay, I want to give you some experiences, just personal experiences that I had. I used to have a fear when I would eat of swallowing. I was afraid that I would choke and die. This bothered me once in a while for, I don't know, 17, 20 years. And you know where I got my deliverance? When I was eating. I was eating at Morrison's cafeteria, and I'd been studying very much on faith and talking in faith. And I looked at my wife at Morrison's cafeteria and I said, I do not have that fear of swallowing anymore. And it left me. It immediately left me. You say, did it try to come back and knock on the door? Yeah, but I didn't let it back in. I said, I don't have that fear anymore. And so my wrist hurt me off and on for 2 weeks. Brother Brian, it was just such pain, I can't explain it. And every time it would hurt me the most, I would praise God the most. I would just praise Him and glorify Him. When it hurt me, I would praise Him. 2 weeks later, it quit. It's never bothered me since. And so, I remember one time in 1982, I was working the third shift. And I wanted to get off the third shift. And I changed jobs, and it seemed like I jumped out of the frying pan into the fire. And I said, this is not what I want. And so a lady promised me a paint job so I could paint her kitchen back in 82. I said, oh, yeah, I'll paint it for $500. And so, you know, cabinets and all that. But that was a lot of money to me back then, $500. It's a lot of money now. But anyway, so I said, well, I quit this job here, and I stepped out by faith, and I went to my home church, and I started telling the people I'm covered up with paint jobs. I did. I just started saying, I got more than I can do. And I confessed that day after day, and I done that paint job, and within 2 weeks, I was covered slap under. And for 10 years, I just about had to give work away. And so, just to show you, the words we speak are so powerful. If you really believe it in your heart, Brother Branham said it creates a power and it brings things to pass. It brings it to pass. What you talk about. I remember my wife, she had a knot on her wrist for a couple years. It was like a bone. And I said, let's just pray. And so I put a little bit of oil on her back in the 70s. And so we just had a little simple prayer. And I forgot about it. And within a week's time, it was gone. I said, why didn't we think about this 2 years ago? You know, something like that. And so anyway, my mother, I was trying to teach her on faith. She was a good Baptist lady. And I was trying to teach her to believe God and to talk in faith and think in faith. And I happened to sneeze and I said, no. And she said, boy, you just flatly refused that, didn't you? And so I was trying to, you know, get across faith to her, but she never forgot that. And then here's another thing. My wife's hair, for some reason, it used to be down long. And she's had a rough life. She's had to be sliced open here. The whole kidney took out. Pus just run out when it come out. Big stones like it run out. And she was close to death. And she had another operation too, I think. And I don't know what happened, but her hair broke off way up to here. And so she told me one day, she says, it's back in the 70s. She says, how about anointing my hair with oil? I don't know how she got all that washed out, but I said, all right. She says, I want you to pray that my hair will be beautiful, long, and thick. And I said, okay. She said, I had another one on there, natural curly. I said, all right. It was NCBLT. And I told one sister down at Atlanta, Georgia, one of the sisters, about that. And she said, that means North Carolina bacon, lettuce, and tomato. And I said, well, anyway, we've been calling it done for about 30 years. And it's grown some about right here. And so we're still calling it done. We're calling it done. And so, James 1:26, let's go over there. And I got a few more things. I hope this is helping you. I really do. I know you already know these things, but it's just like when you don't make your loan payment, you happen to miss it, they just write you a note and they say, this is just a friendly reminder. Okay, James 1:26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain, it's useless. So, blessings are transmitted from the mouth, and curses are transmitted from the mouth. Well, like you say, this person, this child here, they'll never amount to nothing. My mother told me one time when I was a boy, she said, son, you're never going to amount to anything. And she wasn't living right. She was drinking, and I won't name some other things, but I know that the Lord really got a hold of her one day. As a matter of fact, she was drinking. She'd be drinking beer, and I'd say, Mama, what is them little bubbles that goes up there? I remember as a little boy, I said, what is all them bubbles going up there? She said, honey, them's little devils. And I thought, oh, okay. I didn't know. But yet she would show me pictures of Jesus, and she said, now this is a good man here now. I said, oh, okay. So I've had quite a life. I tell you, I've really had some great experiences with the Lord. And of course, we base our experiences on His Word. We know that. But James 3:10, I believe, says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. So let's go to Ephesians 5. Galatians, Ephesians, let's see. I know that some of these things may seem humorous, but God does have a sense of humor. As Brother Vail said, God must have had a sense of humor because He made parrots, monkeys, and some of you people. As a matter of fact, I've been laughing at my father-in-law, my dad-in-law, since just about since I met him. He don't have to try to be funny. I just love to be around him to get me a good laugh. I won't tell you some things, but right now. Let's go to Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And you might say, well, I sure would love to be filled with the Spirit. Well, look at the next verse. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God.
Amen.
And so, I just got to read this quote here. But anyway, this is in The Evidence of the Resurrection, 1958 in Jeffersonville. He said, and here he was. They was talking about him when he appeared. If we would quit talking about our neighbors and quit talking about the hypocrites in the church and talk more about Jesus, we'd have more appearings of Jesus.
Amen.
Talking about the faults of the preacher. Talking about the faults of something else and something, and just talk about Jesus, there'd be more things happen. And as he talked to them and began to explain to them the scriptures, and not was he only just patting them on the back and giving them some little baby doctrine, but he was rebuking them and said, you foolish and slow at heart, why did you doubt what the prophet said? See where he went? Straight to the scriptures. And they began to watch and listen. He said, ought not Christ to have rose the third day and entered into his glory? And as he went along all day long talking, I can't help but think about Brother Brian. When we're together, we talk about things, but our conversation is about the Lord. He's constantly talking about the Lord. And we may talk about cars, we may talk about this and that, but we go right back to the scriptures. We go right back. And as he went along all day long talking, yet they did not know him, because their eyes were holded. They would have been closed, and they could not see him or understand him. Now here's where I want to get to, what I want you to see. That was the first message after the resurrection. You notice that? The first message after the resurrection. Sounds like we're going to have a great time when that prophet comes forth.
Amen.
He'll still be a word prophet.
Amen.
He'll still have his message.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And we're going to hear some things. I believe that.
Amen.
That was his first message after the resurrection. And as he walked with them through the entire day, they did not know him. Yet he was with them. But he himself had their eyes closed. But when he got towards the setting of the sun, and Jesus made as though he was to pass them by, if that isn't just exactly what he's done again in these last days at the setting of the sun, did you notice what he gave the church then through the day? Just preaching the word. He never performed one sign or wonder. He never said anything but just preached the word about the resurrection and what the prophet said. That's what he's done since the days of his going away until this last day. But now, oh bless his name, the sun is setting. And he made as if he would not stop. Oh, I can think of Fanny Crosby when she cried, pass me not, O gentle Savior. And these disciples said, come and abide. Stay with us through the darkness, for it's getting late. And he made out like he was going on, but they constrained him. In other words, they begged him. Oh, if we had more begging type of people, sister, brother, do you know the Bible said just for the Holy Ghost to mark those who sigh and cry for the abominations did in the city. So I can't help but think that if we talk more about him, we'll see more things happening. Amen. And it's like the black preacher, he was always talking to himself. And they said, Moses says, why are you always talking to yourself? He said, well, says, I likes to talk to a smart man. And I likes to hear a smart man talk. And so, and I remember a friend of mine when I worked in furniture. I worked in furniture all about 15 years. And this brother, Johnny Green, not the one out in Tucson, he was just another brother. He's a expert hand carver. He'd go around whittling out a boot or whittling out this. You ought to see his house. Just beautiful. And carvings here, carvings there. And he come over in my department and he said, he was a preacher. And he told me, we'd talk once in a while. And he said, they got to asking me over there, I said, preacher, I said, why are you always talking to yourself? And his answer was, I like to talk to somebody that's got some sense. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we need to watch our tongue. More people have been slain by the tongue than by the sword. The tongue is the most dangerous weapon there is. And Brother Branham said there's more than one way to kill a man, that speak against his character. Now, I didn't say his doctrine, because the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So you have to speak out. So Isaiah 14:24. Surely the Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. Now, I want you to pay particular attention to this word purposed for just a moment. This word purpose means to come to a conclusion and have a made up mind. Now, we know that God is eternal, but I want to bring it down to us. Let's go to Psalms 17, 3 and 4. I'm just trying to bring a point here. Thou hast proved mine heart. Psalms 17, 3, 4. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. David is saying, I have come to a conclusion and made up my mind that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. You can take God's word and keep yourself. Fortify yourself by the word of God constantly. Now, you can have what you say, good or bad. What if Jesus came to you personally, just make an example and say, every word that you speak from now on will come to pass, regardless if it's good or bad. Would you be more careful how you talk? Well, actually, our words do come to pass. People say, I sure would love to have a good piece of chocolate pie. Well, keep talking about it. You'll get it. Okay, so let's go to two more places. Psalms 57, 19. Isaiah. This is God speaking through Isaiah. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. So I create, God says, I bring to pass what people talk about. Psalms 34, my last scripture. I do want to thank the Lord for this open door to speak to you. This is the first church that's really invited me to come and speak, and I really appreciate that. And I thought, man, who am I to speak at a place like this? And I got to thinking, well, maybe it'd be good if Brother Brian would just preach. And so, you know, you get all them thoughts, but you have to just press forward. But let's stress up on this little thought here tonight, Psalms 34:1. I will bless the Lord, and here's the way some people, as Brother Vail says, here's the way some people read the Bible. I will bless the Lord every once in a while. When everything runs smooth, when my pockets is full of money, when the children's all well, when everything's fine, the rent's paid. No, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be, where? In my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. If you don't speak, they don't hear. Okay. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Amen. Amen. So, perfect love casteth out fear. Enticing spirits. I just want to read this and we'll close. And then I want to take you out west on a few songs. And enticing spirits. And I love the way you put this. Here's men and women kneeling right here has been Christians for years. You know, you notice that now. Been Christians for years. I'm not unchristianizing them, but what I'm trying to do is tell them that devil that's haunting them is keeping them out of the joy, full joy. The Holy Ghost is joy. Why, I wake up drunk. I go to bed drunk. I'm drunk all day long, drunk all night long. What is it? I just love to. I go fishing. I just pass him. I go, gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. I go hunting. I'm singing the praises of God. I'm preaching. Everywhere I go, don't you want to be that way? That's a good question. Don't you want to be that way? I do. I really do. I want to be that way. I've been working on this tongue, like the preacher said, a sister come up and she said, Pastor, I want to lay my tongue on the altar. He said, well, sister, there's about 18 feet here if you can get it on it. All right. Praise the Lord. And so, and I read something else where it said the tongue only weighs a few ounces. How come you can't hold it? And so, and then he says, oh, my, hear them singing them old dirty songs. You can sing it. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. So praise the Lord. It may be little, but little as much if God is in it. Amen. So praise the Lord. I found this old guitar back in a pawn shop. When I strummed over it, I just had to have it. I told Brother Brian today I'd give him two guns and $125. I didn't need the guns because I wasn't going to kill nobody. And I didn't go deer hunting, so I'd rather have the guitar. So nothing wrong with hunting now. I know there's some... I had these pages turned down. Sometimes I've wrote songs I don't even know how to sing now. I just have to go back sometimes and hear this, the tape where I recorded it. But I do thank the Lord for giving me quite a few songs. This is a song that I was on my way to Tucson, Arizona one time. And we was playing the Seven Seals, me and Ann. And Brother Branham talked about going to Tombstone and seeing the old relics and so forth. He was preaching along there, and all of a sudden, just right up the road, it said Tombstone. And I said, hey, let's ride out there. And so we did, about 30 miles off the road, or 25, 30, and I walked up and around town, and I finally got up to Boot Hill. And so that was where my first thought for Western Gospels came. And I'm coming out this spring. I've got 18 songs that you're welcome to, free of charge. I've already recorded them years ago on cassette, but I was running out of cassettes, so I had them on, put them on CD. So I wanted to save them for Easter. So anyway, I wanted it to be a surprise. This was a song that...
The graves on Boot Hill. I couldn't help but think how many knew my Savior. And I wondered just how many. God said, son, don't you worry, all I chose will be there, they will hear my voice calling, and they'll rise up from the grave. The graveside that day, I knew many tears were cried. I felt the hurt down deep inside, which is always hard.
Get out more and sing, I guess. I just I told the Lord whatever he wants, I'm willing. I really love this song. It's a little song, and I hope I'm not singing too much. Okay, one more.
Two more will be seven.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's right. Thank you, Pastor. How many appreciates Brother Brian?
Amen.
Appreciate it. Amen. He's been so kind to us. No matter where we go, he's always paying the bill. I mean, I would pay it, but I know God will bless him. I hadn't recorded it yet, and I don't even have the words with me, but it's called Praying Your ABCs, but I'll record it probably later on in life, if the Lord's willing. But I want to sing Riding Tall for Jesus. And so.
There's a lot of strays a-wandering here and there. They're so lonely and lost, seems like no one really cares. But my soul cries out as I ride this trail. Oh Jesus, my Jesus, please
saving. Riding tall in the saddle, riding tall for Jesus, seeking the tape. I got some wind in that one. The way I got the wind was, instead of trying to find some, I just went. So if you hear wind on my songs, it'll be because that I used to have a little four-track studio, and I was telling a story about Jack Coy and the whiskey jug busting, and the way I got the whiskey jug to bust was my wife got me an empty mayonnaise jar and put it in a plastic sack. So when the gun fired and hit the whiskey jug, I went, and that's what you hear. So I had to do something. The glass stayed in the bag. Praise the Lord, it did. Praise the Lord, it did. I would have been in a mess. Okay. Let me go back over here. Just hold on now. Hung by the Tongue. I believe I'll try singing that one. I don't think you've heard that. Maybe you have. Some of these songs I hadn't sung in a long time, and I ought to be ashamed of myself, really. Sometimes at church I get other people to sing, and then I'll try to do better. Thou art snared by the words of my mouth. Let's crank that up a little higher. Thou art snared by the words of thy mouth. We're held in bondage, no liberty. Like a hangman's noose, the rope keeps getting tighter. You don't talk in faith, by the tongue, the words that so much. And I know that Perry Green was talking one time, and that's wonderful. I had this book, God Has a Body. He sure does. But anyway, Perry Green told us, he said Brother Branham told him that 99% of our problems, we either eat it or we say it. So I just wanted to leave that with you. So, thank you so much for having me. I feel so little, but thank you anyway. Brother Brian, thank you so much. God bless you.
Bless you, Brother Brian.
Amen.
We're going to have some refreshments downstairs. I think all the sisters have kind of pitched in. And so get a chance to fellowship with Brother Dwight and those that wanted to talk about the water, et cetera. I don't like business conducted in the church, but actually this is for health reasons, and so he has a lot of answers for you. So let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight, and it was so relaxing, Father, not only in the music, Father, but the words of comfort. Lord, helping us to refocus our thoughts, because if we are to be conformed to the image of your firstborn Son, and we know that he said that all that I speak, he said, the Father commanded me what to say. And the Son can do nothing but what the Father shows him to do. Help us, Father, to be so focused on Thee. As Brother Bell pointed out years ago in Isaiah, the blind servant who could only see what you wanted him to see and who could only hear what you would have for him to hear. So focused, even though he could see him with his eyes, yet they didn't register in his mind, unless it's what you wanted him to focus upon. Help us to be this way, Father, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you all.